He's the great Paul Hamakidis. We know him as Hembo. Hembo, how you doing today?
Mikey Miss, you're all choked up. I appreciate it. I'm sorry to cease that ribbon conversation.
Yes, I am a little choked up, and I'm choked up because in Philadelphia sports right now, I don't know whether to wind my butt or scratch my watch. But let's move on with this. The analysis of this game. Now, Derek Barnett is going to be out in this game. We really haven't paid much attention to it. But apparently it's a major factor here in what the Eagles do.
Yeah, I want to get into the nitty-gritty just a bit. So he hasn't put up gaudy stats this season, but the impact of his injury will be felt along the defensive line against the pass and against the rush. In a fairly even sample size, the Eagles sack and pressure the opposing quarterback at a higher percentage with Burnett on the field than they do without him. That results in a completion percentage gap of about 12% for opponents. But he had an even bigger impact against the run on a per-rush basis. The Eagles are about 30% worse with Barnett off the field, and that number is even more exaggerated on attempts to Barnett's side of the defensive line.
So that means Michael Bennett and maybe Josh Sweat will have to come in there and pick up the load.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for the Eagles, without Leonard Fournette being a factor, the Jaguars' rush is not nearly as effective as it was last year, so obviously their play action theoretically should also not be nearly as effective, but it's at least worth watching on attempts to that side of the line.
All right, so the Eagles still would have the edge defensively on defensive line, even though they are weakened. They have proven that they have numbers in their favor here.
That's correct. Despite the injury to Barnett, the numbers suggest the Eagles should still own the line of scrimmage when on defense in this game, okay? According to ESPN's pass rush metric, the Eagles are winning 61% of their pass rushes within 2.5 seconds. That ranks second in the NFL. And over the last 3 weeks, the Jaguars' offense ranks 28th in the NFL in that measure. So it's easy to identify Blake Bortles as the singular problem on that offense, but as it generally does, their issues start on the line of scrimmage.
All right, so they get that 2.5 seconds. Blake Bortles holds it on for more than that, so there's a mismatch.
Yeah, I mean, he has more turnovers than touchdowns this season. If the Eagles can duplicate that effort, the Jags don't have much of a shot on offense.
All right, now, Jalen Ramsey, big factor in this game. Now, we're assuming that Jalen Ramsey is going to be singularly focused on Alshon Jeffrey, but that's not really the way they play it, is it?
Not exactly. So he hasn't been talking much these days, but his play remains exceptional, and that can be confirmed statistically by splitting the field. He primarily plays wide left or to the right of the offense, and outside the numbers in that area, Jags opponents own the lowest completion percentage in the league and have yet to complete a touchdown this season. But on passes outside the numbers on the other side, Jacksonville is allowing a completion percentage of 72 with a QBR of 93 out of 100. And Mikey Miss, that matters a great deal because Carson Wentz, by both completion percentage and QBR, has been the best quarterback in the NFL on passes outside the left numbers. Again, that is not Ramsey's primary side.
Wow, there you go. That's the first three statistics have been in Eagles' favor here, Hembo.
What do you say?
A couple weeks ago we were talking like every stat was against them.
You know, well, look, I mean,
in the Giants game.
The Eagles were playing horribly then, and even though they lost last week, and look, it was excruciating, as was the Tennessee game. Right now, like, obviously the outcome, 3-4 is an awful place to be. But FPI, which you've obviously taken issue with at times in the past, still views this team as top 10 in both offense and defense. So I'm going to trust our numbers on this. And in this particular case, I think they have a decent shot in this game. But I still got two more stats for you.
Yes, we're going to get to that stat with the percentage making the playoffs in a second. But interesting stat here regarding the Eagles against the number as opposed to what their success is in international games.
So I like this. So the Eagles currently a 3-point favorite in this game. That's both a good and bad thing for bettors, depending on your perspective. So dating to week 15 of last season, the Eagles are 1-7 against the number and 4-4 outright in their last 8 games as a favorite. That's the bad news. The good news is that in 31 all-time international games, favorites are 23-7-1 outright and have covered the spread 65% of the time.
All right, so when the favorite goes overseas, they win.
My guess is that it's much easier to produce aggressive lines domestically than it is internationally, just because there are so many variables and the sample size is so small. I haven't talked to an odds maker. That's my judgment.
All right, how does that weigh against the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars are 3-0 under, and Bortles is 3-0 in international games?
So you consider the opponents there, obviously, and the level of familiarity, theoretically, will be in their favor, but this isn't going to be a home game for the Jags. You know how the Eagles fans travel. My guess is that 2/3 of Wembley is filled with Eagles fans.
Yeah, I would think so. They're all over Piccadilly Circus right now, causing havoc. All right, now the Eagles and Jaguars, both 3-4, And the winner, the odds are, make the playoffs. The loser, forget about it.
Yeah, you cringe every time I bring this up every week. But here we go. Eagles and Jags, both 3-4. And history tells us that the winner is right in the thick of the playoff race. And the loser stands almost no chance of getting back in it. Under the current playoff format dating to 1990, 170 teams have started a season 4-4. 54 of them went on to make the playoffs. That's nearly 32%. And 7 teams over the previous 3 seasons went up in the playoffs after a 4-4 start. Conversely, 162 teams have started a season 3-5 over that span, only 13 of which made the playoffs. That's 8%. So, simply put, the winner of this game is 4 times as likely to make the playoffs as the loser.
All right, so in retrospect here, and in synopsis, 4 of your 5 stats clearly favor the Eagles. The 5th one is the major one where if they win, they're in.
Yes. The only saving grace with a loss here is that it's not a division game. I brought up FPI before, citing the Eagles as a top 10 team on offense and defense, mm-hmm. though that might be counterintuitive. FPI still favors the Eagles to win this division, despite being a game and a half back of Washington. So I wouldn't describe this as a must-win game by any stretch, with still your whole division slate left, but it's pretty darn close.
All right, are you picking the Eagles?
I like the Birds by about a touchdown in this game. I trust the quarterback more. I trust the head coach more, and all the noise surrounding the Jaguars right now, the defense isn't nearly as good as it was a year ago. And I don't care about this London experience thing. To me, that's a crock of crap.
All right, sounds good, Hembo. Always
Fingers
a pleasure,
crossed.
Brother.
You're a good man.
We'll talk to you. There he is, the great Hembo, stats maestro from ESPN's show Get Up. Immortalized with a little caricature.